All right, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 26. I just have the references. I don't have the scriptures up there. Love you to see these passages from your Bible. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. I'm going to read quite a long section of scripture this morning. We have this Sunday and next Sunday for the full Christmas story, and there are things to apply. We've talked about the star. We've talked about the magi. We've talked about fear not, the word from the angels. We've spoken about Joseph. This morning, we're going to speak about Mary, so highly favored. Beginning at verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Now, verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name," say it with me, please,
Jesus.
"He will be great, will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Verse 35. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Verse 36. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Please read verse 37 with me. "For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, read it with me out loud, everyone, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I agree so fully with Pastor Carl. That's not just for Mary. Those are words for us. And when God gives us a word that is a little more difficult than what we can see or believe or see coming to pass, how do we need to respond? "Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word." My heart responds to you. Let there be a performance of all that you have spoken. For, say it with me again, nothing is impossible with God. We're talking about a miraculous birth, a virgin birth. Never been before, and regardless of what kids try to say sometimes, has never been since. Let's go to verses 46 through 55. Luke chapter 1, 46 through 55. Verse 46, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord,'" the Magnificat, "'and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." Listen to what, we don't normally include this in the song, but listen to what it goes on to say. Verse 51, "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever." Mary, so highly favored. Number one, a few points about Mary. Lots of times, folks, Christians stay away from even talking about Mary because some take Mariology to an extreme. But you know something? She needs to be studied and looked at in the Scripture. She's one of the most precious Christians who has ever been on the planet. Someone say amen. She's one of the most precious Christians, and what an example for us. So the first point is precious Mary. Come on, say it with me. Precious Mary. She was a virgin. Now the Greek word is parthenos, and it means literally an unmarried daughter, a maiden. And this word indicates, do you understand? Mary, when she gave this response to the Lord, was probably between 12 to 14 years of age. Now let's see, where's Mary in? And how old is Marianne? Marianne, are you back there? Now, see, you have a very famous family. You have a Daniel, and now you have a Mary for Marianne. So when she comes in, you flag it, and so we'll have to all cheer for Marianne when she comes in. Okay. The word indicates she was probably 12 to 14 years of age, or even possibly younger. This was not abnormal for their time period. This is the age they married in. If you waited until you were 16, 20, 22, 20, that was old age for marriage in those days. So 12 to 14 years of age or younger. Nazareth at this time was a community of about 1,600 to 2,000 people, similar to Port Ludlow, probably similar in size. Number two, she was betrothed to Joseph. Now, in Jewish culture, so you understand, please, a man and woman were betrothed to one another or pledged to each other for a period of time before the actual consummation of their marriage. The betrothal was much stronger than what we call engagement today. It was a time where they were literally considered husband and wife, except they didn't get to live with each other. And it lasted up until a year before their wedding. And this girl was just about the age of Marianne. Marianne, would you stand with us, please? Now, see, this is about the age of Mary. Yay! How old are you, Marianne? 12. And absolutely beautiful. And thanks for standing for us. But precious. And that's about how old Mary was. It's helpful to get a visual, isn't it? So the betrothal, the two families would agree to the union. They would negotiate the betrothal, including a price for the bride, which would be paid to the bride's father. Next, a public announcement was made. At this point, the couple was literally pledged to each other. Again, similar to our engagement today, but it was a lot more binding. Even though the couple was not officially married, their relationship could only be broken in this day through death or divorce. Sexual relations were not yet permitted. This second step, this betrothal period, lasted again for up to a year. And during that time, the couple lived separately with their parents to demonstrate their morality and their purity. If she, the bride, was found to be pregnant with child during this time, the marriage could literally be annulled and other things would happen to her. At this waiting time, the couple would be married and live together. So you please understand what Mary was about to hear or heard from the angel had life-altering impact on her and her entire life. Complete.
You're okay. You stepped over.
I stepped over the line. I do that from time to time. Complete. Let's go on this side. Complete. Life-altering impact. Thank you. Life-altering. And she was honorable, and she went through all the usual precious betrothal. And all of a sudden, it was shattered. Now, ladies, did you look forward to your marriage?
Yes.
If you didn't, sorry. We won't go there, okay? But usually, you look forward to it. You're planning the gifts. You're getting people involved. Wow, this is so cool. That was all stolen in a heartbeat. Because she was a precious handmaiden of the Lord. One of the most beautiful Christian saints who has ever lived. A 12 to 14-year-old girl. Marianne, would you please stand up? Go ahead, stand up, Marianne. She was about this age. Thank you. You can sit down. She was highly favored. Point number three, highly favored. The Greek word here is karito'o, and it means to grace, to endue with special honor. The angel came to her in her house, into the room where she was, and basically he said to her, All health, hail, happiness, prosperity be to you, Mary. Matthew 28, verse 9 says, you are highly favored, graciously accepted by God. You've obtained grace from God. Not referring to electing, redeeming, justifying, pardoning, adopting, and sanctifying grace. That comes from Jesus. That's what she has in common with all of the other saints of God. Let me ask you a question, church. If you've given your life to Jesus, what does the Bible call you?
Saint.
Yeah, Christian. And are you a saint?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're not an ain't, you're a saint. Look at each other and say, hi, saint. Now, there are precious people revered who refer to them as St. Paul and others like that. Of course, there was a fantastic anointing on their life. But we need to not shortchange what God has called us in the body of Christ as Christians. She didn't have saving grace to save others with. That belongs to Jesus alone. But she had particular and special favor of God. She was literally chosen and singled out from all other women in all of human history. Do you understand that? That blows your speakers. All other women in all of human history, she was chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. We have here an account of the mother of our Lord. Though we are not praying to her, we ought to praise God for her. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a difference there. But we literally need to praise God for this precious little girl who became the mother of our Lord. The angel's address means, hail, you're especially chosen, you're favored of the Most High. You have obtained the honor that every Jewish woman in all of history wanted. They all knew there was a Messiah to come, a Redeemer, a Deliverer to come, and every woman in Israel wanted to be the one who birthed the Messiah. And this little unsuspecting 12 to 14 year old girl was the one chosen by God. She didn't put on airs. The word doulos is the male form of the Greek word, which means bond slave. This is douala in the Greek, and it means literally a maid slave of God. Her heart was fixed on God. Did you hear the praise that came from her? Talking about the lowly being raised and the kings being... She's a 12 to 14 year old girl spouting the theology of the Word of God. This girl had God in her life. Luke, in this section of Scripture, is literally writing to Theophilus. If you remember the beginning of the book of Luke, O Theophilus, I write this to you. It was probably in Caesarea while Paul was in prison. Remember, Luke got much of his firsthand accounts of all of this from who? From Mary, who was still alive, who would be able to tell him exactly what took place. Remember, she was given at the cross to John. And John ended up with Mary in Ephesus toward the end of life. It's a powerful thing, and it's real life. The angel of the Lord had come 6 months previously to who? Remember? To Elizabeth and to her husband named Zechariah, and told them of the miraculous birth of their son who went on to become, of course, John the Baptist. This would be a sign to Mary as well as literally, guys, that was the first birth of a prophet in 400 years in Israel. So Elizabeth, by this time, has been in hiding for 5 months. Zechariah had been mute. He couldn't talk for 6 months. And Gabriel, the angel, who has showed up at several powerful times throughout history in the Scriptures, shows up to a 12 to 14-year-old girl. Marianne, would you please stand up? And that probably looked somewhat similar to an age and beauty and grace as our lovely Marianne. Thank you, Marianne. About that age. Mary was highly favored. That word literally means one on whom lavish grace was bestowed. One who doesn't deserve it, but benefits from it. Most importantly, why was Mary chosen? Because it was God's pleasure. How many know God can choose whoever he wants? He's God, right? Come on, when it comes down, you know, Ken and I used to talk every now and then, we remind each other that we always seem to like to turn to God and say, that's fine, I got this. And we're in the driver's seat. But it doesn't work, does it, Ken? It doesn't work. How many know it doesn't work when you're in the driver's seat? God chose Mary as his good pleasure. She was unknown. She was from a small village, but God chose her. She was just a girl, 12 to 14. She was humble. In the Greek, again, the feminine doulos, a slave maid is a better way of saying it. Somebody in a commentary said, a slave maid of the Lord. And she was willing, and she was obedient, and she was precious. How many are really willing to be obedient? I come on, guys, I know I'm laboring the point a little bit, but please track with me. This was a quiet little village, very religious, and there was a certain way you did things. And an angel just came and told her, you're favored of the Lord. But that favor would cost her more than anything she dreamed. Popularity? A sense of what people saw her as? Infamy? Lord, could you have favored someone else? Might we say that? A costly favor. But she was honored as a precious, tender-hearted young girl to have said, I'm willing, Lord. She was walking in holiness and purity. And her acceptance of God's plan immediately, within a few months, made her very suspect. He said, the Lord is with you. This was a traditional greeting given to people of status. So Mary's being treated as a person of status by this angel who sees her as important before God. Blessed are you among women. Now notice it says, blessed among women. Not necessarily higher than the other women, although the very selection of God meant she was chosen. Blessed by the power and presence of God. Now, this is also cool. Some say, I don't say it, but some say the woman brought in sin in the Garden of Eden. Guys, how many like that thought? Because it wasn't the guy, right? Say, woman brought in the sin. But you know what? The woman brought in the Savior into our world. What a powerful, precious gift in place. No. Do away. I didn't preach the first part. Blessed are you among women. And this woman, this young girl, became the mom for Jesus and birthed the Savior. Down through the ages, I want to repeat, all women wanted to birth the Savior. And now this precious little girl would be the one. Now, what happened in her heart? The Bible tells us Mary was wholly disturbed. She was completely agitated. Wouldn't you be? Your whole world is going to change. And something just appeared in front of you and gave you the Word of God. She was agitated. She was concerned. She was disturbed and tried to figure out what it meant. And the angel says, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. God's favor. God's kindness will see you through even the times of agitation and trouble. Just like God was speaking prophetically here this morning. Church, we have a big job to do, and there are people like back east who are hurting, and people we're surrounded with who are hurting, and times can be tough and fearful, and we're the ones who can say, fear not, Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Fear not, for God so loved the world, say it with me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Choose life. The angel speaks gloriously of Jesus and his ministry. What a contrast. This little girl with a fully mature saint of God, mature and aging man named Zacharias, who served in the temple. This man was a religious man. This man was, if you want to be a Pastor Zacharias, and he was supposed to be a mature saint. And he's an old man, and they've not had a child, and he and Elizabeth have the disappointment and the shame and the heartache and everything else of trying for all these years. And the angel comes to him and says, she's going to have a baby. And what happens? He goes, I don't think so. I think we're a little too old. That's obviously not the translation in front of you. But Zechariah didn't believe. He couldn't see beyond the natural limitations of his age and the barrenness of his wife's womb. He couldn't see. So God took his voice. How did Mary respond? She had a question. Lord, how can this be since I've not known a man? I've not had sexual relations with a man. How can I become pregnant? And what does he say? He said, fear not, Mary, for nothing is impossible with God. And what does Mary do? Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. My heart responds. Can you see it as our model response? This is the response of a heart that's tender, responsive to God. Say it with me. Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. My heart responds to you. Let there be a performance of all that you've spoken. For nothing is impossible with God. Let's see it out of different versions here. Luke 1, verse 38. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And Mary said in New American Standard, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, the slave maid, if you will. Be it unto me according to your word. Mary responded, New Living, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. The message. And Mary said, yes, yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. A young girl, a virgin, full of faith and belief, trust, who believed, who dared to believe that what you say God is able to be done. Nothing is impossible with you. And let's go look again at the Magnificat, verses 46 through 49 especially. 46 through 49 of Luke chapter 1. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit is rejoiced in God my Savior. He's regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. Behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. From the depth of my being, Lord, I praise you and I see you as great. And my spirit rejoices in you, God. And you're able to do this. And I don't understand what's going to happen. And I know this is going to be tough. How am I going to tell my mom and dad, what am I going to say to Joe? Oh, God, help me, but I know you can do it. In humility and poorest state, she didn't esteem herself high, but God raised her up. If we come down, God raises up. God gave her favor and honor among all women and among all people. Jesus was born, loved by her and by Joseph, his adopted earthly father. Jesus took care of her at the end of her life and gave her a home with a loving disciple. Mary was probably, again, one of the most important people Luke could ever talk to while Paul was in jail. His friend was in jail and he used his time wisely to write the gospel. And Mary was one of the main people he could speak to. What's the message of Mary's life? Faith. Faith, trust, believe God. Absolute surrender to him. What's he calling for from you and me today? Faith, trust, believe God. Absolute surrender to him no matter what. Look at her faith. Look at it. When asked to walk a road none had ever walked, Mary said, yes, Lord. When she needed to travel miles on a donkey back to go to a census, Mary said, say it with me, yes, Lord. When she'd given birth and all of a sudden some strange shepherd she didn't even know rush in and proclaim that a star led them to this little baby born as a king. She pondered these things in her heart, but she said, yes, Lord. I'll raise him your way and I'll give it everything I've got. when asked to trust that she and Joseph could raise this little one God's way in faith and love and protection, Mary said, "Yes, Lord." When strange magi appear with gifts she never thought she'd see, she ponders in her heart, she thanks God for the protection, and she kept saying, "Yes, Lord. I don't get it. But yes, Lord." Joseph, a man who loves her and loves this little child and loves God, willing to embrace the rejection with her, gets a dream, and in the middle of the night, he's told by God to get up and flee. He wakes up his wife, who's probably tired and had it a little bit with all of this, and he says, "Honey, it's time to go. Okay, you can just go right outside. You go." He says, "No, it's time to flee." And Mary says, "Yes, Lord. I don't get it. I don't want anything to do. Why should I go to live in Egypt? I don't like the houses in Egypt. I don't even like the people in Egypt." She says, "Yes, Lord." When he gets an angel visitation that says, "It's time to go home," she trusts her husband and trusts the God that's leading. And she says, "Yes, Lord." Before that, she takes a baby to be dedicated in the temple, and all they're doing is, there's her God, she's a kid, and Joseph, and they take this precious little baby into the temple to be dedicated, and all of a sudden, they don't know these people, an elderly guy and gal come over and toddling over and prophesy over this baby. And she goes, "Okay, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do your will." As we come close to Christmas, we see a precious baby born who becomes the one who saves us all from our sins. And at the same time, we take a look at all the players. And the most important woman in all of history, as a 12 to a 14-year-old girl, said, "Yes, Lord." And look at all that happened because she did. What's Jesus saying to you today? What can you do for the Lord? You can honor, esteem, say, "Blessed is Mary for her obedience to the Lord." And you can say, "Lord, I want my faith to model yours and hers. Lord, let my faith so be a sterling example like that." Trust, faith, belief. What can the faith of a tiny or a young girl do? Mary, highly favored. Little girl went to her bedroom and pulled a glass jelly jar from its hiding place in the closet. Some of you as little girls probably had some of those. She poured her change out on the floor, and she counted it carefully. What can the faith of a little girl do? Carefully placing the coins back in the jar and twisting on the cap, she quietly slipped out the back door and made her way 6 blocks down the street to Rexall's drugstore with the big red Indian chief sign above the door. She waited patiently for the pharmacist to give her some attention, but he was busy. She waited. She waited, and she twisted her feet, and she made a scuffling noise. She tried to do as much as she could, and she waited, and nothing. She cleared her throat with the most disgusting noise she could come up with. Nothing. What can the faith of a little girl do? She finally took a quarter out from her jar and she banged it on the glass counter. That did it. "And what do you want?" the pharmacist said in an annoyed tone of voice. "I'm talking to my brother from Chicago, and I rarely get to see him, and it's been ages since I've seen him, so I'm having a good conversation here. What do you want? And she looked at him and she said, I want to talk to you about my brother. He's really, really sick. And I want to buy a miracle. I beg your pardon, the pharmacist said. The little girl continued. His name is Andrew, and he's got something bad growing inside of him and in his head. And my daddy says only a miracle can save him now. So, sir, how much does a miracle cost? Well, we don't serve and sell miracles here, little girl. I'm sorry, he softened, but I can't help you. Listen, with pleading eyes now and tears welling up in her eyes, she said, listen, I've got the money to pay for it. If it isn't enough, I'll go get more. Just tell me, how much does it cost to get a miracle? The pharmacist's brother, standing there, was a very well-dressed man, and he stooped down and he looked at the little girl. And he said, honey, what kind of a miracle does your brother need? She said, I don't know. I just know he's really sick, and mommy says he needs an operation, and my daddy can't pay for it. So I want to use my money. How much do you have? The kindly, well-dressed man said. $1.11. It's all the money I have, but I'll get more if I have to. The man smiled at her. He said, what a coincidence. $1.11. That just happens to be the exact price for miracles for little brothers. And he took her money in one hand and her hand in the other. He grasped her little mitten and said, take me to where you live. I want to see your brother. I want to meet your parents. And let's see if I have the miracle that you need. This is a true story. And the well-dressed man was Dr. Carlton Armstrong, a surgeon specializing in neurosurgery. And he did an operation for that little boy completely free of charge. And it wasn't long before Andrew was home and doing well again. Mom and Dad later were happily talking about the chain of events that led them to this place. And Mom looked at Dad and she said, that surgery was a real miracle. I wonder how much it would have cost. And the little girl sitting close by smiled at her mommy. And she said, I know exactly how much it cost. $1.11. Plus the faith of a little girl. What can the faith of a little girl do? What can the faith of you, me, what can our faith do? What can we do? We can say, yes, Lord. No matter what, I want to do what you want me to do. If there's somebody down the block or in my family that you want me to share you with, Jesus, I'll do it. Even if it means there's a bit of rejection I face, Lord, no matter what, I'll do it. And God, Lord, I'm praying for that miracle. What can the faith of you and I do? If you ask me what I think about Mary, I think Mary was an absolutely precious girl who said yes to God, became the mother of our Savior, who should be esteemed and honored forever. And we should have such faith. Someone say amen. Amen. Let's stand. Would you read this with me as the musicians get ready? Be it unto me according to thy word. My heart responds to thee. Let there be a performance of all that thou hast spoken. For nothing is impossible with God. Let's stand. Now, Lord, we come to you this morning as believers. We believe that nothing is impossible with you. And, Lord, as you lead us, we will follow. Guide your people this day, this week. What a precious time when people are more open to hear the good news of you, of Jesus and your saving power. Lord, we thank you for Mary and what she accomplished simply by saying yes to you. Go forward with your people. Go forth with them. Guide them, protect them, lead them. Open every opportunity for them, Lord, and let them know you are blessed and blessing them as they say yes to you. Again, we pray for the families back east and families here that, Lord, though our nation may hurt, let our eyes look to you and move in the Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.